Hello, Wisdom Seekers, and thank you for tuning in to the Wisdom Seeker Podcast. I am your host, Sierra Bell. In this podcast, we value godly wisdom, and we seek it through digging into scripture and having heart-to-heart conversations. On some episodes, you'll be hanging out with just me, and on others, I will have a guest who will give insight on their journey of faith. We are not perfect in this podcast. We keep it real while glorifying God and having fun. I'm so glad that you've joined. Now let's get this conversation started. Hello, Wisdom Seekers. Welcome, welcome to this week's podcast. Thanks for tuning in as always. I hope y'all have had a great week. My week has just, oh my gosh, do y'all feel like, first of all, I can't believe that it's March. And I just feel like January took, like every year, it just feels like January takes 45,000 months to get through. And then like February flew by so fast. March is already flying by so fast. I just like look at my week and I'm like, where did the time go? My week has just flown by. And I just feel like I've been so busy. I'm going to talk a little bit about that today. We can't keep cramming our lives so full, y'all. We got to give ourselves some time to rest. Like, today's Friday. I'm just now getting to putting my podcast together. And I'm like, what? Friday is supposed to be my Sabbath. So I'm not living up to my Sabbath promises. And so I'm going to have to continue to work on that. Today's Friday, like I said, I'm just now recording this podcast. So I'm just going to have to take half of a day of Sabbath. I'm not just going to go ahead and throw the whole day away. I'm still going to go on a hike today. I'm going to take my dog with me, and like it's hot in Alabama, y'all. And so hopefully we can just enjoy our hike. And well, I'm always going to enjoy a hike. But anyway, it's been a while since I've been on a hike, and that's just something that I love to do. I don't know why I've let myself go this long without going on a hike. So I feel like that's going to be really refreshing. And I'm going to try to like just notice God and creation. Like I just love creation. But anyway, so to start the podcast out with something that drew me closer to God this week, I don't know if it drew me closer to God, but it definitely challenged me to allow myself to grow as a Christian. So this past Sunday, our church starts at 9:15, but you can get there at like 8:45, and there's like a volunteer kickoff where they do like a devotional and someone will speak and whatever. And sometimes they'll say, okay, let's get into groups of three or four and let's just pray. And so this is like always so awkward to me, like almost to the point where I don't want to go, but I go anyway. But so we get in these little groups and we are like standing in a circle, and so it's like, hey, how are y'all? Like whatever, small talk. And then somebody finally says, okay, well, I guess I'll pray. And sometimes like that person will pray. By the way, I'm never that person. But sometimes that person will pray. And then sometimes that's it. Like, okay, amen, hallelujah. But other times it's like this awkward thing where like, the next person closest to that person will also start praying. And I'm just like, please don't get to me. Please don't get to me. Please don't get to me. Because like, I am so scared to pray out loud, y'all. Like I am so scared to pray out loud. And so that was this Sunday. And thank God it didn't get to me, which by the way, I don't know, maybe it should have gotten to me so I can face my fears. Because I'm one to like pray at home, but like what I do when I pray at home, sometimes I pray out loud, but mostly I like write my prayers down. I just feel like once I start writing, it just like all comes out. And so usually I write the prayers down. And so I just get real awkward if I think I'm about to have to pray in public. And really, it shouldn't be like that, right? But the same Sunday, I went to my family's. We have like a Sunday dinner a month with our family. And my dad always says the prayer. before we eat. And my aunt was like, okay, somebody else needs to pray this time. And so she comes over to me and asks me if I want to pray. And I'm like, no, sorry. I got so awkward and I was just like, I'm sorry. Like, I don't feel comfortable doing that. And I'm sitting here thinking like, okay, I have a Christian-based podcast that I post every week, but I can't say a prayer in front of my family. Does that even make any sense? And so that's going to challenge me. I've got to get more comfortable. And it shouldn't be like a performance, you know? Like, prayer is connecting with God and like speaking directly to God, asking Him, first of all, thanking Him for everything that He's done for us and asking Him for His provision over us. And I think that sometimes when you pray in a group or whatever, it seems like you're putting on a performance for them and like they're judging every word you say. But like, really, it's just supposed to be you talking to God. So why am I so scared to do it? So anyway, that's going to challenge me this week. I'm pretty sure probably a lot of y'all feel the same way about praying. I think it just takes some like practice getting comfortable. So maybe, probably not, but maybe this Sunday, if my church does those little circles, maybe I'll start the prayer. I'm going to be real nervous if I do it, but ooh, I'm all about facing your fears, so. Okay, so that's my thing of the week. So, this episode is titled Cultivating the Garden of Your Life, because I'm reading this book, and she kind of talked about gardens a little bit, and like weeds in gardens and all that stuff, and so I've been thinking about gardens lately. And I kind of just Googled how does like gardens like relate to the Bible. And I came across this story that a lady had written that was basically like she said that she had bought this new lot of land and they were building a house on it and everything. And she paid a landscaper to like landscape for her, like flowers and plants and all that stuff. And she said that, you know, the more he worked on it and more he worked on it, and then he was finally done, and she was like, what is that? Like, that is so unimpressive. And she's like, did I just waste my money on this landscaper when like this is not what I had envisioned? And the landscaper said, trust me, just wait and see, and you'll have a beautiful garden one day. It just takes time. How rude of me to have my volume on my phone on. I'm gonna have to keep remembering to turn my volume off. But anyway, he said, it just takes time, like, just wait. And so she goes on to say, like, the next years, like, not just, you know, a couple months, like, over the next few years, the plants were, like, still unimpressive. But they just kept on pulling weeds, they kept fertilizing. And she said, each year, the gardener pruned back the plants, shrubs, and trees. And that didn't exactly look like progress to me, but what I could not see. Ooh, what you cannot see. So they're working and working and working, and it doesn't look like progress. But she said, what I could not see was that the sunshine, rain, fertilizer, pruning, and even the winter snows were helping the plants grow bigger and stronger. And so she ends the story saying that now she's had the garden for 10 plus years, and she walks out each year and just has like a beautiful array of flowers and plants. But it took time. It took cultivating of the garden. It took pulling the weeds. It took fertilization. It took rain. It took sunshine. It took even snow, like the resting season of winter. All of that was building and cultivating the land to produce the good plants and flowers and everything that she had envisioned, but it took time. And I just love that story. It sounds basic, but I'm like applying it to, you know, our lives and our hearts and how it just takes time to really cultivate our hearts and our lives. And so I think that it's beautiful that God gave us the land to take care of. Like, it's just so beautiful to me. Like I told you guys before, I think, like, God really speaks to me through creation. I just think that, like, if you look at creation, it's just a reflection of God and how He created us and how our bodies, like, live and function and work. I think it's just a replication of us. Like, we can look to nature and we can look to creation and we can see how we operate. We operate the same way that creation operates. And that's just like a reflection of God and how He created us. And I think that's so beautiful. And so perfect. Like, good job, God. Like, you are the best creator in the world. Either way, it did take time and many years for that woman to get the fruit of her labor, or to get the fruit of her gardener's labor, but we'll act like she did it. But it took time. And sometimes we get so worried. I think, like, she was so focused on, like, what her idea of her garden was. Like, if it wasn't for her gardener, she probably would have just given up, right? But sometimes, like, if we look at our garden as our life, I think sometimes that we get so worried about orchestrating our whole life plan. And we have these visions of our goals in our head that we want to get to. And I feel like that we're so busy worrying about that final goal that we don't do the daily work, the pruning and the rain and the all that that goes into building a garden. We don't do that daily work that will lead to a fruitful life, to a fruitful garden of life. And so I think that we get lost in the weeds. Right? And so I'm thinking of the weeds. We get lost in the weeds of, like, what we see as the demands of life. So we get lost in the weeds of our job. We get lost in the weeds of our circumstances, that we don't do the daily work, the daily cultivating of our garden. And so if we are going to think of our life as a garden that we have to cultivate, we have to cultivate it. What's the definition for cultivate? I'm about to look it up. Because I'm going to use this word cultivate like 100 times in this podcast. And I have an idea of what it means, but I love looking up definitions. Okay, so the first one says to prepare land for the raising of crops. And then the second definition says to improve or develop by careful attention, training, or study. Okay, that's the one I'm looking for. But anyway, so we have to cultivate our lives for years to get the beautiful plants that we want if we're thinking of our life as a garden, right? We don't just put our heads down and do the work. It takes cultivation of our hearts, of our relationships to really produce beautiful fruit. Not just hard labor, but hard work internally and relationally, not just hard labor. And so, you know, like, the ground has the relationship with the rain, with the sunshine. Like, it's not just the humans plowing and planting the seeds. Like, the garden still has to have the relationship with the rest of the elements of creation in order to grow. You can till the soil and plant all the seeds and try to water it all you want to, but if it doesn't have the relationship with the sunshine and the rain and the rest that it gets during the winter months, then you're not going to get any fruit. And so I think as humans, we try to work, but we're not cultivating our relationship with God and our relationship with our family and others. If you want a beautiful life, right? Beautiful plants at the end of your life, if you're thinking of your life as a garden, then you have to first ask yourself, what do you want the garden of your life to look like? And it sounds like a easy question to answer, but I want you to really take the time. It's actually a very hard question to answer because we have what society tells us we want, and then we have what we really want and what God designed us to want. So what do you want the garden of your life to look like? At the end of your life, if you're thinking at the end of your life, what do you want to look back on and be proud of? Do you want, like, the successes of this world, like a bunch of accolades and accomplishments and a nice house and a Ferrari or something like that? Like, at the end of your life, are you going to look back and think that those were really important things? If so, then by all means, do, you know, whatever, just put your head down and work. But I think most of us, think that those are fulfilling in the moment and for a moment, but do you want the successes of this world, or do you want to look back and see that you lived a life that brought you happiness and true fulfillment, inner fulfillment, not just material fulfillment? And do you want to look back and see that your life had a purpose that impacted the life of others and that lived out your godly purpose for life? Like, which, you got to make a decision. Go ahead and make it right now. Like, which one do you want? Do you want what the world calls success and material success and a bank account full of money? Or do you want true fulfillment and true purpose and a life that impacted others? And so for me, I'm glad that I got a taste of like the corporate world at a young age. Because in my eyes, that was my idea of success, right? So if you ask me what I wanted out of life, then I want to rise up the corporate ladder and I want to hold a coveted position. I want to be a president or a CEO. Like, I want to make a big impact in the corporate world. And I want to, you know, be able to show everybody what I accomplished, and I want to enjoy the money that comes with it. But I got in the corporate world and I realized that the people who do hold those positions aren't typically very happy people or very fulfilled people. They may have the nice things, but they're not happy on the inside. And I'm glad that I experienced that at an early age, because to me, like, y'all can have that corporate world stuff. Like, I am not interested at all, like at all. And sometimes I still have to wrestle with that, like, oh, but like, am I successful if I don't have this list of accomplishments, like whatever? But like, I know that that's not what I want. Like, that's not what I want. I'm glad I experienced that at an early age and was able to get rid of like my old ideas of what success looks like. Because really, if you think about it, and this isn't like a blanket description, not everybody's going to fit into what I'm about to say, but a lot of people who like look like they have, you know, gone really far in life and they've reached their goals and they got the position that they wanted and they have the nice car and they have what looks like the nice family and they have the nice house and they're able to go on these trips and all this because their position offers them a lifestyle where they have a lot of money and it looks like they are thriving. And it looks like they've reached all their goals. But typically, like if you really think about it, a lot of those people usually have a lot of issues going on in their personal life. Like everything may look good as far as accomplishments, but their personal life and their like internally, they're dealing with a lot of turmoil. And that's why we get surprised sometimes when we see people who we think had it all together because social media showed us that they had it all together, or you know, what the world tells us is success. It showed us that they had it all together, but then something blows up where they cheat on their wife or get a divorce or end up going through a midlife crisis or whatever, because really they weren't internally happy. They were just going after what the world shows them as success. And so you'll see, even if it's something crazy doesn't happen, like what I just said, like they get a divorce or whatever, a lot of times they're consumed with stress. Their lives are just consumed with stress. They constantly feel like they have to live up to others' expectations or they're going to let someone down. They feel like the weight of the world is on their shoulders. And unfortunately, like I said, a lot of times their families fall apart or their health falls apart because they weren't taking the time to really rest and nourish their bodies. And so just like gardens need rest and nourishment, humans need rest and nourishment. Be careful when you think about what you want your garden to look like, because if it's all about worldly successes, you may end up getting what you wanted, worldly successes, but you may end up losing what's really important in life. And when you look back, will you really feel like you lived a life of fulfillment? And maybe you will, but for me, I stopped caring about worldly successes and stuff like that. Like, again, still sometimes I wrestle with the idea, you know, sometimes everybody wants nice things because you see other people have nice things. But in the end, like, I want to be really happy. and material things just make you happy for a moment. And so, again, I'm reading a book called Don't Settle for Safe by Sarah Jake Roberts. And in it, she says, we live in a culture that often celebrates outward achievements with little regard to internal prosperity. So like I said, the world says we need bigger houses, boats, cars, white picket fences, good jobs, all of that. But Romans 12:2, I love me some Romans 12:2, y'all. I know I talked about it last week. It says, do not be conformed by this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your minds. Do not be conformed. Don't conform to this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your minds. To me, cultivating the garden of your life and allowing God to transform your mind and not being conformed to this world, it starts with putting your priorities in the right place. So the Bible tells us your priorities should go like this, right? God first, and then like a close second is family, right? God first, family right under that. And then you use the guidance from God to put your other priorities in place. But without question, God and family come before your occupation, come before anything else. God and family come before anything else. That's what the Bible says. And if it's done consistently and correctly, I feel like the garden of your heart will be full of good fruits. Like if you really put God first and family second, your heart is just going to be fulfilled and it's going to produce good fruit. But I feel like it's easier said than done. I feel like a lot of times people love to say, we like to say like God and family before everything. But is that really how we're living our lives? It always seems like we don't have enough time. We're just striving to make ends meet, and I've got all these responsibilities I've got to take care of. And so a lot of times we put those responsibilities and we put our occupation in first place, and then God and family fall somewhere beneath first place. And it's easy for us to say, I don't have time. Like I don't have time to put God first, and I wish I could put family before my job, but like for me to love my family, I've got to go to work and I've got to provide. So I just don't have time. But I don't think that we don't have time. I don't think that anybody works 24 hours a day. I think that our priorities are out of place. And I'm saying our. Like, I deal with this too. Like, it's not that we don't have time. It's that our priorities are out of place. And so, again, you have to ask yourself the question, what do you want the garden of your life to look like? I look back on my interview that I had with Brian Wortham, and to me, it's just really, I don't even think we went too deep into this with his interview, and I wish we would have, but he quit his job of 10 years and went to a job that like doesn't have guaranteed hours and is definitely a pay cut, but he said, what are my priorities in life? And he decided that God and family were his first priorities in life over his occupation. And he made the decision to that it's okay if I take a pay decrease, like God will take care of me. And so you got to ask yourself, like, what's your priorities? It's easy to say that, oh, well, it's just something I have to do. Okay, most of the time you do have to work, but do you have to work that much? And when you come home from work, do you have to watch TV for 2 hours? Does your kid have to be in every sport? And do you have to work that much? Do you have to live in the house that's eating up all your paycheck? Do you have to have the nice car? Do you have to have the nice clothes? Like, where's your priorities? What do you want the garden of your life to look like? And that's how you start lining up your priorities. But eventually it has to get to God first, family second, and then everything else falls after that. And so for me, I don't want to live a life that's constantly striving for outward accomplishments, right? The nice house, blah, blah, blah. Or a monetary goal. I have somebody that's very close to me that always is like striving for this monetary goal. But y'all, they never reach the goal because once they reach the goal, there's a new goal and there's a new goal and there's a new goal. And they work so hard all the time to get to these different goals that they're always stressed out. Even when they reach the goal, that's not the end of their stress. They keep on making new goals. And so I don't want to spend my life constantly striving for that. I want to live a life that God designed for me to live, not that the world designed for me to obtain. And if you want the same, I think that we have to do some cultivating of our hearts in order to allow God to transform our minds. Romans 12:2, y'all, like I really love that verse. So how can he transform our minds if we're too distracted doing what the world makes us feel like we should do? If we're putting first what the world tells us to put first. A lot of people always say that they want to hear from God. Like, how do y'all hear from God? Like, what do you mean? But God is alive and speaking, but how are we supposed to hear him when we don't stop for long enough to listen? And like I said, I can already hear you now. I don't have time. I have to work to pay bills and I have to take care of my kids, blah, blah. Like I have to do this. And it's hard, and I know, and I would like to put God first and family at a close second, everything last, but I just have to do this. I have to do this. I've got to provide for my family. But Psalms 127:1 says, unless the Lord builds a house, the work of the builders is wasted. Some translation says that the workers labor in vain. Like, unless the Lord is building the house, the workers are laboring in vain. But I like the one that says wasted, just because that translates better for me. I'm just thinking, wasted, like waste. It says, the work of the builders is wasted. So you think that by putting your head down and going to work and doing all this and just pushing to provide, you think that you're going to reach a point of comfortability with your family. But the Bible says that time is wasted if you're not giving God the time and the opportunity to build that house for you. Like, God will provide for you. And so I feel like if you don't allow him to provide for you, you're just going to be stuck in this never-ending cycle of striving. I've got to. The world's on my shoulders. I've got to. And so Psalms 120, and y'all, I deal with this too. Like, I'm always like, oh my God, I got to. But then like when I take time to slow down and say, God, like, this is bigger than me. Like, I've got to give this to you. He always makes a way. I know that people say that all the time, but I'm telling y'all, he always makes a way. And it's really, really cool. But Psalms 127 continues to say, it is useless for you to work so hard from early morning until late at night, anxiously working for food to eat. God gives rest to his loved ones. And so have you ever felt like, I know you have, right? Like, I just can't win for losing. I'm doing everything that I think I'm supposed to do. I'm working, I'm trying to spend time with my family, and I'm just doing all this stuff, but my house keeps falling apart. Like I can't win for losing. Like, once I think I'm doing the right thing and I push and I get over this one hurdle, another hurdle gets thrown at me and another one, and I just can't win for losing. Are you truly putting God first? Are you truly putting God first? Family second, and work somewhere after that. Think about it. Are you truly doing that? And then one last verse I want to read. Y'all, I'm getting excited. Because it's so hard. I know it's so hard to release control over God and to truly put him first. Like, it takes practice. And to truly give your family the time that they desire. Because the world is not built for us to do that anymore. The world is made now where unless somebody is making a lot of money in the household, which that person probably won't be happy in the end, It's a two-person household thing now. Like, the world is created to where we can't just live off of one income. We can't just, like, the world is created for us to have to strive to, I mean, y'all, have y'all seen the gas prices? So I know it's hard, and I know sometimes it sounds ridiculous that, oh, I've got to carve out time for God, and I've got to carve out time for my family, and then work comes last. Because the world teaches us different, but Romans 12:2 says, don't conform to this world. Be transformed. Let God transform you. And so, last verse I want to read about this. Matthew 6, verse 31. Oh, you know what? I actually love all of this. I love all of Matthew 6. I'm going to start with verse 24, y'all. And I'm reading the NLT, so hopefully it's easy for y'all to understand. It says, no one can serve two masters. You'll hate one and love the other. You'll be devoted to one and despise the other. You cannot serve God and be enslaved. Y'all, it says enslaved to money. Money does not bring freedom. Money enslaves you if that's what you really are striving for. Verse 25 says, I tell you not to worry about everyday life, whether you have enough food and drink or enough clothes to wear. Isn't life more than food and your body more than clothing? Look at the birds. This is why I love creation, y'all. Look at the birds. They don't plant or harvest or store food in barns, for your heavenly Father feeds them. And aren't you far more valuable to him than they are? Can all of your worries add a single moment to your life? Y'all, I know y'all worry all the time. I worry all the time. Everybody that I know worries all the time. Can all your worries add a single moment to your life? And why worry about your clothing? Look at the lilies of the fields and how they grow. They don't work or make their clothing. Yet Solomon in all his glory was not dressed as beautifully as they are. And if God cares so wonderfully for wildflowers that are here today and thrown into the fire tomorrow, he will certainly take care of you. Why do you have so little faith? Isn't this so bold? Why do you have so little faith? You think that it's all in your hands and you have to work so hard. Why do you have so little faith? And then it goes on to say, so don't worry about these things saying, what will we eat? What will we drink? What will we wear? These things dominate the thoughts of unbelievers. But your heavenly Father already knows all your needs. And check this again. Check this out. Here's your priorities. Here's where it's coming in. Seek the kingdom of God above all else and live righteously, and he will give you everything you need. So don't worry about tomorrow, for tomorrow will bring its own worries. Today's trouble is enough for today. Y'all go back and read Matthew 6. Like that, if that is not one of the best parts of scripture in the whole Bible, which I think that about a lot of scriptures. But the next time that you say, oh, I've got to skip my prayer time, or I've got to do this, because, or I'm sorry, I can't spend time with my family because I've got to go make money for us to eat and blah, blah, blah. Go read Matthew 6. Go read Matthew 6. You of little faith. You of little faith. If our goal is to put God first and family in a very close second, then the challenge we face every day is ordering each day. Right? So each day we must allow for sufficient rest, proper nourishment, time with the Lord, and quality time with family. We must carve out that time every day. That's where our priorities are. That's where our priorities are. So think about the garden, okay? If you don't take the time to work the soil, you won't be able to produce good fruit. Your work is going to be in vain. It's going to be wasted. If you don't give time to the land to get it sunshine and rain. What does sunshine and rain come from? Only from the Father. If you don't give time for the land to get that and to get its rest, then you'll work and work and work, and at the end of the day, you'll have nothing to show for it. So you may seem like you're producing good fruit on the outside when you're just pushing and pushing for your goals and accomplishments, but you know that on the inside, there's turmoil, stress, the weight of the world on your shoulders. There's turmoil, and it's going to end up affecting your health, your relationships, and your purpose. So if we don't take the time to cultivate what we have, which is our souls, our hearts, our relationships, that's what we have. That's what matters. Then all of that will just end up holding on by a thread. It's going to be affected if you don't take the time to prioritize it. And so I think that once we really carve out time to put God first and family second, then God begins that work in our hearts and that transforming of the mind that Romans 12:2 is talking about. I think that being a Christian is about consistently putting to death our old ways. Consistently, every day we have to put to death our old ways, our old ideas, our old desires. And we got to let God transform our hearts and our minds. We've got to give him the space to do it. If we're packing our day full of everything else, we're not giving God the space to transform our hearts and our minds. And I think that one thing that God shows us when we spend time with him is the weeds. Remember in that story, she's saying they're picking out the weeds. Year by year, they're picking out the weeds. And eventually, she gets the garden that she always hoped for. And so when we spend time with God, I think that he shows us the weeds that are in our gardens, the weeds that are in our hearts. And so I looked up on Google what weeds do to a garden. You know, like nobody wants weeds in their garden. And I love what it said, like the first thing that popped up on Google. It said that they starve the plants from growing. The weeds starve the plants from growing. I think that our hearts are full of weeds. And those weeds are starving us from growing. They're starving us. And so, like, what are your weeds? Ask yourself, start thinking, like, what are your weeds? You've got to spend time to grow. You've got to spend time looking for weeds in your garden. And you've got to ask God to help you to identify those things in your heart that are keeping you from growing, that are starving your growth. And then you have to do some soul searching. Me too. I keep saying you. I'm not perfect, y'all. But you've got to do some soul searching and some confronting of your past. Our past plants these roots that grow into weeds. Our past hurts us and it starts putting calluses on our hearts. And we've got to confront our past so that our past is not starving our growth. So we've got to confront the past. We've got to do some soul searching so that we can find out where the root of that weed came from, so that we can pull it out from the root and stop it from starving our growth. And so to me, finding the root of the weed looks a little bit like asking yourself why. Like when God identifies the weeds to you, or sometimes the people around you that love you identify some things that you could be working on. And once you identify those weeds in your garden, you have to ask yourself, you got to find the root. So that looks like asking yourself why. Like, why am I scared to try something new? Why am I scared to take a leap of faith? Why can't I commit to anything? Why can't I refrain from doing things I know I shouldn't be doing? Why can't I be faithful to the ones that I love? Why do I get defensive when people point out things that I'm struggling with? Why do I get defensive? Why can't I admit when I'm wrong? Why am I always trying to please other people? Why do I settle for less than my dreams? Whatever it is that are your weeds, why? Why do you do that? Because that causes us to confront the root. I feel like we have doors of our hearts that have been closed for so long, hurt and pain from our past, that cause us to close off certain parts of our hearts, and we don't want to confront those parts of our hearts. But I think it's time to open up those closed doors that we put on our hearts And maybe that means we have to forgive people. Maybe that means that we have to go through all the emotions of putting or opening that door back up. But whatever it is, we've got to confront it. We've got to stop allowing those weeds to starve our growth, y'all. But I don't feel like we're ever going to reach the point where we've gotten it all figured out. Like, I've been on this process of identifying my weeds for a while now, and it's awesome. I think little by little you grow, but I don't think you ever get to the point. And that's why I hate when people think that people are supposed to be perfect, or people portray themselves as perfect, even like pastors and everything like that, leaders. Like, nobody's perfect. Everybody still has those weeds that they got to attend to. Even if you go in your garden, you pull out all the weeds, you're still going to have new weeds that rise up. And so I don't think that we're ever going to get to a point where we've got it all figured out. But I think that if we begin to identify the weeds every day, we can grow little by little each day. We can keep that thing from starving our growth little by little each day. And I think that every day there's going to be things that we have to confront, right? It might not be the big things of our past that caused calluses to grow and doors to close on our hearts. It might not be the big things. I think every day there's things that's going to rise up that we see that we need to confront to become better people. Like, every day there's going to be a question like, why did I not follow through on my plans? Why did I hit the snooze button 17,000 times? Why did I not allow myself to rest today? Why did I not give God the attention that He deserves today? Why did I not give my family the attention they deserve today? Why did I not put healthy food in my body today? Why am I allowing this to stress me out? Why did I cram so much into this day and not allow time for rest and for family? Why am I not giving this to God? There's things every day where we're going to have to say, whoa, let's look at this root. Let's pull this root out. Isn't that cool? So start looking at your life and your heart as a garden. And we need to start identifying those weeds and pulling them out. And I think little by little, that'll help us grow each day. And I just invite you to examine your life today and ask yourself, what do you want the garden of your life to look like? What do you want the garden of your life to look like? And if right now your priorities aren't in place to get that garden that you look like, then let's start making those changes. Let's start spending more time with God. Let's start doing the work, tilling the soil to get those priorities put in place. Okay, that's my 2 cents and I'm sticking to it. But next week is my anniversary with my hubby. And so I have gotten him to agree to come on the podcast. Hubby, did you hear this? I'm announcing that I got you to agree. So we're going to just be on here talking a little bit about our journey. And I'm going to ask y'all on social media if y'all have any questions or topics that y'all want to know more about from us, because my husband doesn't like social media. He doesn't like putting a lot of his business out there. And so this is your place to find out about the mysterious life of Kelvin Bell. I'll try to get him to share as much as possible, but he is not a big fan of sharing. But we are going to talk about our journey, and I'm excited about it. So I hope you'll have a great weekend. Peace and blessings. And submit some questions when I ask about it on social media. And I hope to see y'all back next week. Cue outro music that I don't have. La la la. Have a good week. Bye.